Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Grace Chapel and the Sunday morning fellowship meeting of the Fisherman Ministry in South Carolina. Let's worship the Lord.
Spirit revival begins. for they are white unto harvest. The time of reaping is at hand, for the souls of men to be gathered in. For what was sown in tears will now be reaped with joy. The word of the Lord shall not return void. Cast out your nets, you fishers of men. Through the power of the Spirit, revival begins.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. You know, I remember listening a little bit on Friday to go to the soccer game to Davey's message. One of the things that he brought out is remembering who we serve. Is remember who we serve. Because I know, as for me, it's so easy to forget that and look upon myself on how I'm going to get anything accomplished, how I'm going to do that which is set before me to do. And I can very much get very hopeless, get very down, overwhelmed to the point where I don't want to get up and do anything. Very easily to get to that place. But in that sermon was a very good point. Remember who we serve. Okay, because, you know, as long as I'm looking at myself, I can't do anything. I mean, I can do nothing about anything. But if I look upon Jesus, what he has done, what he has already done, what he has already accomplished through many instances, just even in my life, but also in others, also in the scriptures. And see, that's a whole different field you're playing on there. That's a whole different realm. I mean, that's a place where you actually are playing on a place where you already can stand in his victory and what he has done and accomplished. Now, it was interesting because last night as we were kind of going, we were going over scriptures, and in Samuel, it was, David was at the end of Samuel there, 2 Samuel, one of them. David was talking about the mighty men that served the nation while David was king. And it was quite interesting as he was going down and he was talking about these mighty men of war. And in each instance, you can see where these guys has accomplished and became a mighty men of war was absolutely not because of their own strength, of their own doing, because at each of those victories that they had, you've seen where, and the Lord wrought a mighty victory that happened. And it was a very amazing thing because these guys, all they did was absolutely just stand and chose to believe God in the face of absolute adversity and doom against them. And you can see where the rest of the men of Israel, many of these times, they fled. And it was like one guy against like 300 Philistines, or like one guy and 800 men that he slew 800 men in a battle. It was like three men going and getting a drink out of the well of Bethlehem for David. I mean, it was just an amazing thing. I mean, the odds, and in the natural, that could not happen. It was not possible. But these guys did not forget who they served and what cause they served for. What cause they served for was the defense of Israel and God's chosen people. And they stood for his name. And rather, there were times where these guys were in error in Scripture. There's these times where these guys fell into temptation. I mean, these guys were not perfect guys. In fact, the ones that David picked up were like vagabonds, man. The ones that were in debt, they were like rejected of society. They were not even accepted in the place. But I share that with you because the other people that ran, the men of Israel that ran and fled from that was all a choice that they made. See, others could have stood along with those mighty men of war against certain, like it looked like, let me put it this way, looked like certain doom, But yet they reign victoriously because they were operating in the Lord's strength. And see, if we can just tap into that and not forget who we serve in the midst of whatever is going on, we too will be victorious in standing for the cause, for His and His army, for His will. Now, I want to go to Romans 4. And I want to hit I guess okay, well, I guess I want to start at verse 18. And it's talking about Father Abraham here, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. He staggered not at the promise of God, but was fully persuaded. Now, if we can just tap into that, and that starting in that key point of remembering who we serve. Because I tell you right now, I battled, it wasn't even just a couple weeks ago, I remember struggling against the things that I was looking in front of me and saying, there is no possible way, this is not going to happen, this will not work out. And yet, in the midst of that, God's grace covered me. Now, where sin abound, what? Grace aboundeth more. And that's certainly exactly what happens, and it just goes to show how big and awesome Jesus is. Amen. Okay, that's all that shows, and declared unto me that was the case. But it's amazing, as soon as I step out to go forward and to repent of the unbelief that I was taking heed to, and stepping out, that the victory was right there. See, the first state of me was one that flee from the situation. The second state was to choose and stand and believe God against where it looked like hopeless situation. Yet all it took was a choice to believe who I serve and how great and awesome He is and who has the victory. And that's Him. That's Him. And when you fall, see, and the biggest thing that I know that I have run into, I don't know, sure others have run into, but the biggest thing that I have run into is that also there's that thing where I come across where it's like, man, I have screwed up so bad. I have fallen away so bad. I have listened to that old man so much that there is no way for me to come back to him. See, the biggest struggle there and that entanglement that I run into is that God is not big enough to cover my sin. Well, I tell you what, folks, that is an absolute lie. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Because he's so far bigger than that. He is bigger than you. He's bigger than your screw up. He's bigger than however long a while you have walked in error. He's bigger than all that. And you don't have to walk under condemnation anymore. You don't have to walk into defeat anymore. Anymore. See, because God is bigger than you. That is an awesome thing. That's something we can really take hold of. Wrap our arms around and not let go. What does it say in James? You mentioned James this morning. Brad, it says, count it all joy when you what? Fall into diverse temptation. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. I don't know about you, but man, that's a hard thing to do when you fall into diverse temptation. But yet, that's what the Scripture says to do. Why? Because you put your faith back on Jesus and what He is able to do. And you put your eyes back on the gospel of Him covering you. And He just doesn't leave you hanging there. I want to go to James for a second. I'm going to start. 1 James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That part, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Look, I tell you, when I turned 'When I turned and chose to stand and chose to believe God against all odds, to me, and quite frankly, I mean, it's to some might be no big deal, but to me, it was against all odds. I was absolutely looking at this situation as an utter defeat. But when I looked, and when I yet turned and repented, there I was giving everything I needed, and I did not lack a single thing. I didn't lack one thing at all. I had the energy to get the things accomplished that were set before me to do. And what the Lord led me into the day by day by day was absolutely amazing. And strengthened in every which way. And the ways that I went, I had no idea that that was going to go. I mean, it went from work, going from this position to that position. Going here and doing this thing, which I didn't expect I'd be doing, and going here and doing this other thing, which I didn't expect to be doing. But in each and every step of the way, where you could see where it was exactly what the Lord had, and where the Lord had absolutely established a good thing in each step. Now, I share this with you because this is the place where we're all called to stand. just like the children of Israel, where they could have fled against that adversity, or yet stand like the mighty men of war did, and all those things. Yet we can have that choice yet to stand against that adversity, just like them. See, they were taking part of David's anointing, which was an awesome thing. Just like we take a part of somebody else's anointing, which really it comes down to whose anointing is it? It's Jesus' anointing. But if yet we would just step out in faith and not cower, not back down, despite of who you are, what you've done, what you're capable of doing, what you're not capable of doing, just yet standing in that place where the Lord would have you stand and stepping out in the faith of Him, you'd be amazed at what great victory the Lord can bring. And not to lift you up high, no, so that He gets the glory and the gospel gets manifest. Where the gospel gets manifested, because isn't that the thing that needs to be manifested? I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't help a single one of you. I can't save anybody in this room. Can't save them. Neither can y'all save anybody else yourselves. But the one person that can save is Jesus Christ. Now, if we know Him, yet we can share that person with the other and give them opportunity to have the same also. To walk in the same anointing. To walk in the grace, the gospel of grace and peace that covers all. And remember, He died for the sins of the whole world. And that's the most important thing. And yet He is so big that yet He even uses our own screw-ups for His gospel to be manifested. Yet our own screw-ups. I remember Steve talking about stepping out and walking, and what if we would just walk in faith and love can turn around South Carolina. We got to get off of looking at ourselves and start looking on Him. We need to get off our high horses on looking at others and what they've done and thinking yourself better than them and recognizing where you came from and who is Lord. Because I see the group fall from one direction to the other direction. Some better than the others and in judgment of others, and some so low that they can't do nothing. Both are one in the spectrum of pride. But that's a choice that you make. I remember, and I think I even stated even last week, I mean, that choice of which, where Corey was studying and his testimony and what Steve highlighted in the midst of that. I can't help but go back to that. I don't know why. But the one thing that was left out, it wasn't the Lord. It wasn't the judge. It wasn't the lawyers. It was Corey just committing himself unto the Lord. That's all it was. I mean, it was like the Lord was sitting there waiting for Corey. All right, Corey, you want to do this or do you not? And see, that's a lot of times what it is with us. Is, hey, do you want to go step out in faith and do this or not? I mean, because the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He's not. He is absolutely well able And a lot of times it's us not stepping out in faith, but we're yet fleeing like the other children of Israel are. Running away from the situation instead of standing firm on Jesus' victory. And we look upon ourselves, or we look and we judge others for us not stepping out in that victory. Or make excuses for ourselves why we aren't stepping out in that victory. Man, I am good at that. I tell you what, I'm a pro at that. But you know what? I don't have to listen to that anymore, and I don't have to stand there anymore, because I'm going to be fleeing. When I make excuses, that's the same as me fleeing from the situation. That is the same as not just locking my wings and jumping off the cliff like an eagle does and soaring above the storm. See, when I make excuses, it's just for me not to step out in faith and love, but rather be justified in running away. Look, I'm telling you, those men that fled, I'm sure they all thought they had good reason to flee. Man, they were big, they were strong, they were a lot more than we were. Yeah, I ran. Makes sense in the natural. But if you want to be a part of His army, a part of His plan, He's looking for people that will step out in truth and faith and in love. And He has not equipped us. He's equipped us with everything. What did He do? He gave gifts unto the churches. Look, He moved on. He gave the power to who? The church. If He would just step out and use it. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, that is our God. And that when we fall and mess up and screw up and everything away, He covers us with the gospel. He laid down His life to pay the price for all of that. So what do we have to be afraid of? Nothing. Nothing. And look, it's so easily. What does the scripture say in Hebrews? It's so easily. The sin that so easily besets us. It's so easy, but it's not an excuse. I understand it. I get it. I've done it. But it's no excuse. Look, we can turn right now. Right now. And stand. Now, I remember sharing the thing with Paul, and I'm sure that I remember that situation. I remember that situation very clearly. And I remember where it was, one where Paul was very sick. And I knew that the Lord, on both hands, I mean, the Lord could heal Paul. And Paul wanted to be healed. And I knew at the other hand, on the weighing of the two options, is that thing, there's some things that Paul had to jump through. Okay, and I knew that there was just this balance of not putting him in condemnation on some things. Yet, but also giving him opportunity to step out in faith and get the Lord's deliverance. Now, I don't know about you, but that was something I did not want to stand up and do. I mean, it just was not. I really was like, man, please. I mean, Davey, do you want to just come stay down here for a little bit? I mean, Steve, do you want to stay? But no, the person there to do it was me. Now, as I walked through each step, I'm telling you something. Every single day, there was something new that came across my table. Something new that had to be addressed, from dealing with the hospitals, dealing with the options that Paul's had, and all kinds of things. I mean, because one option was, right when he got to the hospital, they did the treatments, was Paul could either come home to hospice right away, which he wanted to come home. wouldn't even talk to the doctor about it. He would talk to me, and I had to really address Paul on some of these things. And that was some of what Paul was not engaged in doing. But I had to address some of the situation to Paul and really explain to him what was going on. Or he could go to the rehab place and go ahead and get and fight and do the physical therapy and these kinds of things. And when it get, and just to see where he's at. And then also for himself to find out what he really wanted to do in the midst of the situation. Because we can say we want to do a thing all day long. Like I can sit there and say, man, I want to be in a guitar player. I want to become a guitar player, man. I want to be good at playing the guitar. But if I don't ever pick up the guitar and start playing it, do I really want to play the guitar? No, I don't. So sometimes we think we want to go down a certain road, but then it becomes make us very clear that we really don't want to go down that road. Well, which is okay. Except to when it comes to things about the Lord. I mean, see, that's where the Lord meets us, where we're really committed to Him on these fronts. Now, so in working through all that step by step, and each time was an obstacle, each time was presenting a situation, each time was going out and finding certain, this legwork of finding the best place for Him, and these kinds of things. And I'm telling you, I mean, it was, to me, as I looked at it all, man, it was very overwhelming. But I did step by step each day. And what I saw was, I saw in the midst of it when it was all over. See, it wasn't very clear, man. I really searched. I talked to the hospice people. I talked to so many people. I was on a daily talk with Steve on this front. And I knew very clear, look, if Paul were to go, were to pass, where I knew where he would go. And I was under a sure confidence of where he would go. So, but when it all came to pass, each timing of each event for Paul was absolutely the Lord's time in all of it. Was the Lord's time for each, every single move. From the hospital to the rehabilitation place to a hospice at home, all the way up to the end, it was perfect timing. And yet, in the midst of it, I'm like flipping out, but the Lord covered me in each of those things. And Paul went and received that grace, which he preached by, he received it. And went to go be with the Lord. And it was a beautiful thing to sit back and watch how the Lord played that all out. And you wouldn't believe some of the things that actually was absolutely good lessons for Paul in each of those things. See, if you're in that situation, it was like a front row seat of what the Lord was doing. And it was an awesome thing. It wasn't just this terrible thing, man, he's dying and going, man, this is all suffering and pain. Yeah, he suffered, he had pain, but what y'all didn't see up close is something that's hard for me to describe. Hard for me to describe. But yet, if I was not willing to do any of that, and quite frankly, there just was nobody else here to do it. I mean, it was very clear that this is what the Lord had me to do, because let me tell you, I mean, if Steve was down, I was like, go ahead, Steve, all right, awesome. Good way to go. But I would not trade that for anything in the world. That was an awesome experience. But see, each and every single one of you guys can experience the same thing in whatever situation that the Lord has you in. Every single one of you. And yet we've seen His testimony in our lives. Some of it is just like where we've been. Our testimony has kind of been like us going out in the desert. He left us out here to die. Well, here comes, we want some food. Rains bread from heaven. We need some water. We're going to die. Left us out here to die. Here comes the water. We don't know where we're going. Here comes the lead right there. It gives us, you know, and that's really been our testimony. It's not a really good testimony of us where actually you guys have stepped out in faith. No, it's just him manifesting himself towards you and his love towards you. And see, that's where it kind of gets a little personal there. See, now it's time, folks, for us to actually be like that second generation who enters into the promised land with Joshua and grabs a hold and receives that promise. See, that's where we're at. Look, he's manifested himself to us. He's manifested his love, his power, his grace, his mercy. He's manifested all of that to us. Now, are we going to actually step out in faith and go get that promised land, which he laid out as a promise? Not in presumption. Because you've seen what happened to that first generation when they went to go take it in presumption. It didn't work out. He already told them they weren't going to receive it. Didn't work out for them. But see, now it's time for us, okay, to receive that. And the Lord's given us everything we need. Everything we need. And he is well able. And if you screwed up to this point, repent. Turn around and start standing. See, it's not where the Lord sits at. No, it's really where we're sitting at. He hasn't moved. He hasn't changed. His promise hasn't stopped for us. See, it's that we actually go and sit away from the promise instead of sitting and grabbing right a hold of it. It's kind of like the children of Israel fleeing the other direction. So we know now it's just a matter of choice. It comes down to what we really want to do. And I had a battle with that myself many, many times. Because what I wanted to do was contrary to what God wanted me to do. Absolutely contrary. I'm like, I don't want to go that direction. Lord, I don't want to go that direction. Phil, I want you over here. I don't want to go to that direction. Phil, I don't want to. All right, Phil, you go ahead. And then it gets really tough and crappy over here. I'm like, Lord, I do want to go that direction. I apologize. I was wrong. I do want to go that direction because that other direction really sucks. I forgot about that direction. That's really not a direction I want to go in. I forgot. That's misery, pain, and don't want it. Lord, yep, here I am. It's the truth. And then every time I step over here, it might be scary. Tail tucked in between my legs and you know, all these kinds of things. But yet then I stand and the Lord does awesome. I'm like, awesome, praise God, man. Lord, you're awesome. See, it's really just been a first-hand experience in many situations in my life of what the Lord was able to do when I would just yet and stand to believe Him and to do what He would have me do. Look, when they took the promised land, they just went, trooped around, had a word fast, didn't say anything, and just shouted at the walls at the times of the trumpets being sounded. What did they get? They got a great, great victory. And I know some of the situations you might think that I have to face off was no big deal. But I tell you, just even work is a heavy pay. It's not the most paying manager job in there, but there is a lot required. It's definitely not because it isn't that it's the easiest, I tell you that. But the Lord is big, and He's invited you to be a part of His army. Now, whether you choose to go upon that, man, that's between you and the Lord. But I hope you choose rightly. And I'm here to tell you, there is no other awesome way than that. No other awesome way than that. Some of you guys have experienced that, and I encourage you, just because I did it yesterday or 2 days doesn't make me that I'm going to do it this week or today or any of those things. It doesn't. It's still a choice yet today to yet stand. Even if you had stand, it doesn't justify you. No, it just shows how awesome the Lord is. And that is an awesome thing. Because if it was banked upon me or my goodness or my whatever I did or anything, if it's based on any of that, man, I am doomed. I am gone. There is no hope for me. So praise God, it's all about Him and His victory and what He has done. When it's something that each and every single one of us can stand here and stand in and be a part of. So let's go do it. Amen. All right, I'm done.
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.